Hi, my name is Martin, and today I'd like to do an excerpt from a book published by Richard Rohr. Richard Rohr is the founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in New Mexico. In 2008, he wrote a book entitled Things Hidden, Scripture as Spirituality. And I'd like to do a short excerpt from that in Chapter 5, and the title of the chapter is Good Power and Bad Power. And it essentially is a theme on basically the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So with that as an introduction, let me begin. When I moved to New Mexico in 1986, I lived my first years in downtown Albuquerque, a block from a homeless shelter. One morning I got up early to pick up a paper at the newsstand where the homeless often sat along the street. Someone had written these shocking words in chalk on the sidewalk. Since it was early in the morning, it was still there. It said, "I watch how foolishly man guards his nothing, thereby keeping me out. Truly, God is hated here." I suspect this was written by an embittered person, but maybe not. Maybe she or he was a modern prophet. I knew I was supposed to read it. I knew there was some truth in what the person wrote, especially in a country where most people are quite comfortable churchgoers, and almost all of us do guard our nothing. St. Francis would likely say the same thing. This is knowing that we folks inside the system are not privy to, whereas the beggars to the system see clearly. I see why Francis wanted us always to be mendicants, beggars, keeping us structurally outside. When Jesus and all the prophets are trying to do is to make sure that all of us have had that experience somewhere in our lives of being on the losing side. Knowing how much it hurts to hurt, whether it's having a disabled child, suffering loss, being a racial or sexual minority, or being someone who has been looked down upon for any reason. That place outside of the system is a liminal space where transformation and conversion is much more likely. Isn't it ironic that most of the gospel has probably been preached and taught by people who are very comfortable? That's almost an assurance that these preachers will largely miss the point, that they will not preach the true or full message. Jesus made sure his followers were pilgrims and strangers to business as usual, so they could be citizens of a larger kingdom. I can see why my father, St. Francis, was trying to do by keeping us outside the clerical system, too. It is not bad, of course, but it is very dangerous. He didn't want us to be priests who are inherent insiders or even topsiders. He remained a brother himself. It worries me when we take people to train them for ministry and immediately give them an ascribed role, security, and status. We are almost assuring that they will have nothing gospel to say about it, unless they learn from their own wounds or those of others, which many do. Maybe the recent scandals in the church can even be good for us if they return us to the edge and to the bottom. In Jesus' time, the very architecture of the temple revealed in stone what I'm talking about spiritually. The actual design of the building seemed to protect degrees of worthiness. At the center, there was the Holy of Holies, which only the high priest could enter only one day a year. This was surrounded by the court of the priests and the Levites, which only they could enter. Outside that, there was the court of the circumcised Jewish men. The outer court of the temple was the court of the Jewish women. Outside this entrance, there was a sign warning any non-Jew who enters that he or she will be punished by death. Here we had structured in stone what all religions invariably do, create inside and outside as almost their main purpose. Jews defined us as Gentiles. We speak of non-Catholics or non-Christians. Almost everybody seems to need some kind of sinner or heretic against which to compare themselves. Remember that Judaism is an archetypal religion, and what they do right and wrong illustrates the same pattern as almost all religions. On some level, we all create meritocracies. Worthiness systems invariably base them on some kind of purity code, whether it be racial, national, sexual, moral, or cultural. Now, perhaps, we are beginning to see what a radical reformer of religion that Jesus was. He showed no interest in maintaining domination systems or closed systems of any kind. He actively undercut them, even against his own followers. He showed no interest in the various debt codes and purity codes of religion, which are the religious forms of power and exclusion. In fact, he often openly flouted many of the accepted purity codes of his own religion. Jokingly, I sometimes say that Jesus appears to just relax from Sunday until Thursday and goes out of his way to do all his work on the Sabbath. It is pretty obvious that he is provoking the religious system that puts customs and human laws before people. He says the same when his disciples are criticized for breaking these human commandments. He defended their official sinner status by saying the Sabbath was made for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. I hope you enjoyed this brief little portion of Richard Rohr's book. So farewell until the next time.